Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back, everyone.
Great to be diving in again.
So today we are tackling, well, a massive subject, one that feels like science fiction, but it really defines our modern world. Nuclear weapons.
Yeah, it's not just something in the history books, is it? It's kind of the underlying code for global security as we know it.
Totally. And to really get our heads around it, we've been reading Mark Wolverton's Big Examination, Nuclear Weapons, History, Paradox, and Global Security.
If you've ever wondered, you know, how humanity ended up in this really weird spot where stability sort of rests on the threat of wiping ourselves out, this book is pretty essential reading.
Yeah, Wolverton frames it around this core idea, the nuclear paradox. It sounds complex, but it's actually kind of brilliantly simple and terrifying.
It really is the engine of the whole story. I mean, these weapons, they're capable of just unimaginable destruction, species-ending stuff.
Right.
But, and here's the paradox, Wolverton argues they've actually prevented big wars between major powers since 45 because of deterrence.
Deterrence. That's the key mechanism.
Exactly. But in creating that deterrence, we created this, well, existential risk.
Yeah.
The only one, really. So the whole point of this deep dive, I think, is figuring out how we manage a risk like that. A risk you can't just solve.
Okay, let's talk about the author then. Who is Mark Wolverton? Why is he the right person to tackle this huge mix of history, science, politics?
Well, he's a really accomplished science writer. You might know his work from places like Wired or Scientific American.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his background seems to be really focused on how, you know, big technological leaps change things, how they intersect with politics, with war.
What strikes me is that he's not coming at it as a general or a physicist himself. He's more like a master synthesizer.
That's a great way to put it. He's like the really informed outsider, the translator for the rest of us.
Makes sense.
Yeah, he clearly does the deep research, talks to the scientists, the policymakers, but he knows how to make all that complexity understandable. He translates the physics jargon, the political maneuvering, the ethical knots into something, you know, really clear and engaging.
So you don't need a security clearance to follow along.
Exactly. You just feel like you get it. He brings you up to speed quickly.
All right, so let's trace the journey the book takes us on. What's the overall story arc?
Well, Wolverton's goal seems to be giving a full picture for, you know, the non-specialist, you, the listener, the curious citizen. It starts right at the very beginning.
Like way back.
Yeah, with this sort of innocent science, like Marie Curie, Einstein, figuring out atomic structure. Then that key moment in 1938, discovering fission, it's just pure scientific curiosity driving it initially.
But then World War II changes everything.
Exactly. That geopolitical urgency just accelerates everything. Pure science suddenly becomes the Manhattan Project. Super urgent.
And from there?
Then it tracks the immediate aftermath. The Soviets testing their bomb in 49, boom, U.S. monopoly gone.
Big moment.
Huge. Kicks off the Cold War arms race. The push for the H-bomb, which was way more powerful. Developing ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. And that leads to the whole doctrine of mutually assured destruction. MAD.
Chilling acronym.
Isn't it? And he doesn't stop there. He brings it right up to today. Modern challenges like rogue states getting nukes, think North Korea, the fear of nuclear terrorism, and even newer stuff like cyber attacks on command systems.
Wow, so it really covers the whole sweep.
It's the full story, yeah. How one scientific discovery just permanently reshaped our reality.
Okay, let's dig into that beginning then. The genesis, the physics, the people. What are the key bits from the Manhattan Project part of the book?
Well, the science basics are things like fission splitting atoms and fusion joining them. Chain reactions, all build on Einstein's famous EMCC, or simple concepts, profound power.
But it wasn't just science for science's sake by then.
No, not at all. The real trust was fear. Specifically, that Einstein-Seward letter sent to President Roosevelt, basically warning him the Nazis might be building an atomic bomb.
So the U.S. had to get there first.
That was the thinking, which led to the Manhattan Project. Just this incredible, massive effort combining top scientists with military organization. Wolverton highlights the tension through two main figures.
Oh, where are they?
You have J. Robert Oppenheimer, the scientific director at Los Alamos. Brilliant, kind of intense, maybe brooding.
The father of the atomic bomb.
Right. And then you have General Leslie Groves, the military guy. Super pragmatic, focused on the immense logistics, building secret labs, getting materials, managing thousands of people all over the country, keeping it secret.
Quite the pair. Mm. Did the book talk about the debates, the moral questions before they actually use the
bomb.
Oh,
yeah. It definitely captures this dawning awareness of what they were unleashing. The climax isn't just dropping the bomb, it's the Trinity test. July 16th, 1945.
The first detonation.
Yes. And an unbelievable scientific success, right? But immediately followed by this huge moral weight. That's when Oppenheimer famously quoted the Bhagavad Gita, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds."
Chilling. It really captures that turning point.
It does. They knew they'd crossed a line. Irreversible.
So from that moment, scientific triumph mixed with this profound shock,
yeah,
the story moves straight into deployment and strategy, using the bomb, the Cold War.
Right. Wolverton really examines President Truman's decision. It wasn't just a tactical choice. He was weighing the projected horrific casualties of a U.S. invasion of Japan against dropping these new bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
A terrible calculation.
Absolutely. And Wolverton stresses that using the bombs cemented their status. These weren't just bigger conventional weapons. They were fundamentally different, ethically different.
But that difference didn't stop others from wanting them. The Soviets, 1949.
Exactly. U.S. monopoly over, the real arms race begins, which led straight into the next big push, the hydrogen bomb. The super.
Another escalation.
A massive one. This sparked a huge internal debate. Oppenheimer was actually quite cautious, had moral reservations, but Edward Teller, another physicist, was determined to build it.
And Teller won that argument.
He did. And the result was weapons thousands of times more powerful than the Hiroshima bomb. This huge leap in technology basically forced policymakers to come up with a new strategy.
This is where MED comes in. Mutually assured destruction.
That's it. It sounds insane, but there's a logic to it explored in the book.
Can you break down that logic for us? It sounds, well, mad.
It kind of is. The core idea is maintaining peace because both sides, the U.S. and the Soviet Union, then had a credible second strike capability.
Second strike.
Meaning, even if one side launched a massive surprise attack first, the other side would still have enough nuclear weapons left, hidden on submarines or in silos, to completely obliterate the attacker in return.
So nobody could win a nuclear war.
Precisely. It guarantees mutual suicide. That's the deterrent. It's deterrence based on ensuring total annihilation for everyone.
It's hard to believe our survival relied on that kind of logic.
Yeah.
And sometimes it almost failed, right? The Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, absolutely. 1962, Wolverton uses it as the prime example of just how fragile this whole system was, how close we came.
What went wrong? Or what almost went wrong?
It wasn't necessarily the technology failing. It was human factors, miscalculations, terrible communication between Kennedy and Khrushchev, immense stress, commanders on the ground making independent decisions. It was terrifyingly close to accidental annihilation. Human error, basically.
While all that high-stakes drama was playing out between governments, what was life like for ordinary people? Wolverton calls it the nuclear shadow.
Yeah, he describes this pervasive culture of fear. You had kids doing duck and cover drills under their desks at school.
Right, I've seen pictures of that.
People building backyard fallout shelters. Just this constant background hum of anxiety. But interestingly, that fear also fueled something positive. The anti-nuclear peace movement really took off, people demanding arms control limits.
But the threat didn't just stay between the U.S. and the USSR, did it? Proliferation.
No, it spread. The book traces how other countries developed the bomb. China, eventually India, Pakistan, and more recently North Korea. And then, after the Soviet Union collapsed, a whole new worry emerged.
What was that?
Loose nukes. The nightmare scenario wasn't just state versus state anymore. It was nuclear materials, or maybe even a whole weapon, falling into the hands of terrorists or rogue groups or black markets.
That sounds chaotic.
It was. Wolverton highlights the case of A.Q. Khan.
The Pakistani scientist.
Yeah. He basically ran this international smuggling ring, selling nuclear technology and know-how to countries like Libya, Iran, North Korea. It showed how hard it was to contain this knowledge once it was out there.
A stark example of how technology can just leak out beyond state control.
Exactly. Which brings us up to the challenges Wolverton discusses near the end, the threats we face right now. Digital ones.
Cyber threats in the nuclear sphere.
Yeah, it's a major focus. Think about it. The risk isn't just a general going rogue. It's a sophisticated hacker maybe disabling early warning systems or spoofing them. Or even interfering with launch command systems.
That adds a completely new layer of vulnerability. The human element isn't just someone making a bad call. It could be someone exploiting code from halfway around the world.
Totally. And Wolverton even touches on AI, artificial intelligence. If AI gets integrated into, say, early warning systems to make decisions faster, what happens if the AI makes a mistake?
You're adding machine speed to a system with zero room for error.
Right. It connects back to that earlier theme, technology racing ahead of our ability to control or understand the consequences. Just like the H-bomb race then, maybe an AI race now.
Okay, that's a perfect transition. Let's pull back and look at the big themes, the main messages you take away from the whole book. These seem like lessons that go way beyond just nuclear weapons.
Definitely. Theme one is that core idea we started with, the nuclear paradox.
Right. Terrible weapons that somehow kept the peace between big powers.
Yeah, but a peace built on constant nerve-wracking tension. It requires incredible vigilance just to maintain that balance.
Okay, what's another key theme?
Technology driving policy. Or maybe outrunning policy. Wolverton shows again and again how some new invention like MIRVs totally upended the strategic calculations.
MIRVs, remind us what those are.
Multiple independently targetable reentry vehicles. Basically, one missile doesn't just carry one warhead anymore. It carries, say, 10 smaller ones, each able to hit a different target.
Okay. So one missile launch could take out many enemy targets.
Exactly. Suddenly, launching a first strike looked potentially more winnable because you could maybe wipe out most of the enemy's missiles before they could launch. It completely destabilized the Maybay logic for a while, and policy had to scramble to adapt.
And you see echoes of that today, right? With AI, bioengineering, the tech moves faster than the rules.
Absolutely. The third theme is kind of sobering, the persistence and permanence of the nuclear age.
Meaning? We can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Pretty much. The book's perspective is quite realistic. The knowledge of how to build these things exists. It can't be uninvented. So complete disarmament might be an ideal, but the practical challenge is management. Permanent, ongoing management. It demands vigilance across generations.
Wow. Okay, and the last theme.
This one really resonated with me. Human factors in nuclear systems. It emphasizes that these incredibly complex, high-tech systems are still run by humans. And humans make mistakes. We get tired, stressed, misinterpret things.
The Cuban Missile Crisis again.
Exactly. But also, the flip side, Wolverton tells the amazing story of Stanislav Petrov.
The Soviet officer.
Yes. In 1983, his early warning system started screaming that the U.S. had launched 5 missiles. Protocol was clear. Immediate massive retaliation.
Oh my.
But Petrov, he had this gut feeling. The data looked too neat, too clean. He suspected a system malfunction, not a real attack, and he went against protocol. He reported it as a false alarm.
He potentially saved the world.
He very likely did. It was a system error.
So does the book say we just have to hope for heroes like Petrov?
Not exactly. It's more that we need to design systems knowing humans are fallible. Build in checks, balances, pauses for thought. Petrov's story shows both the danger of relying solely on automated systems and the absolute necessity of human judgment, ethical decision-making under immense pressure.
That fragility is just stark.
Oh.
Wolverton seems to capture it well in some memorable lines from the book. What are some quotes or key ideas that really stuck with you?
One that really broadens the perspective is, "The nuclear age has made us all citizens of the world, whether we like it or not."
What does that mean, really?
Well, think about fallout. Nuclear winter, the effects of nuclear war wouldn't respect borders. So nuclear policy anywhere affects everyone, everywhere. It's a global responsibility.
Makes sense. Any others?
This one cuts right to the heart of Meg. Deterrence works until it doesn't, and when it fails, the consequences are unthinkable.
Oof. Yeah. It just highlights that instability, doesn't it? The whole system balancing us on the edge could just fail catastrophically.
Mm-hmm. And maybe one more, summing up that realism we talked about. The knowledge of how to build nuclear weapons cannot be uninvented, making proliferation a permanent challenge rather than a solvable problem.
No easy answers there, just the need for constant management.
Right, which leads us nicely into, well, what do we do with this knowledge? What are the real-life applications for you, the listener?
Good question. First off, I'd say, informed civic engagement.
How so?
Well, understanding this history, deterrence, proliferation, the role of watchdog groups like the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, it gives you the tools to actually understand the news.
Ah, yeah.
When you hear about tensions with North Korea or debates about the Iran nuclear deal, you get the context. You understand the stakes, why things like verification are so critical, even if they seem tedious.
That makes sense. It moves it from headlines to actual understanding. What else?
I think there's a big one for ethics. The Manhattan Project story is just this huge cautionary tale, isn't it?
For scientists and leaders today.
Exactly. Especially those working on other world-changing technologies. AI, genetic editing like CRISPR, autonomous weapons, we have to look back at the atomic story and think really hard about unintended consequences before the genie is out of the bottle this time.
Learning from history, basically.
Yeah, and maybe a final application. Just a deeper appreciation for diplomacy.
Because the alternative is.
Well, the book shows you the alternative, the near misses, the constant escalation. It really makes you value the slow, frustrating, but vital work of treaties, negotiations, verification, all the stuff that has somehow kept that nuclear genie mostly contained so far.
That's a great point. It's easy to dismiss diplomacy as just talk, but this history shows it's often the only thing standing between us and the abyss.
So, wrapping up, what's your biggest takeaway from digging into Wolverton's work?
For me, it's how clearly he shows that dealing with nuclear weapons isn't just one kind of problem. It's not just technical or just military.
So everything.
It's everything. It demands ethical thinking, historical awareness, political skill, technical understanding, all interacting at once, interdisciplinary, through and through.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, the standout value of this book is how accessible Wolverton makes it all. He takes this subject that is just fundamentally terrifying, incredibly complex, and he turns it into a human story.
About the people involved.
Yes. The brilliant, flawed, scared, ambitious people who built the bomb, deployed it, and now us. The people who have to live under its shadow. Forever. It really feels like an essential read for understanding the 21st century.
I think the final, maybe provocative thought is just that constant vigilance isn't just a political slogan here. It's the price of survival. An enduring awareness of how fragile peace is when it's built on the threat of total self-destruction.
A sobering but necessary reminder. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.